like that person in the Bible. They said they organized a big party and nobody came. So we had to go to the street corners and mobilize. Good folks, members, all officials from the department, stakeholders, interested parties, you are all welcome. I think we should commence with our meeting. The cheapest watch in the room says it's 12 minutes to 10. Tatemubu, somebody said 2015, one should say the most cost-effective watch in the room, not the cheapest. I said euphemism won't take us anywhere, it remains the cheapest watch. I'm told that the Director General did send us an apology, is with the Cabinet Lekgotla. And there are also members who sent us apologies, namely Mama Tebe and Honorable Sithole. And Honorable Member Masango is navigating his way through the traffic. So we hope he'll eventually be able to join us. Having said that, good folks, welcome. And kindly take us through the presentation.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, good morning. My name is Stanley Anderson. I'm the Deputy Director General for the Expanded Public Works Program. Pardon me. And yesterday, you have read the apology from our DG already. So he would have wanted to be here, but unfortunately couldn't. With me, we have two senior staff members, the Chief Director for the Expanded Public Works Infrastructure, Mr. Ignatius Arrio on my right, and Ms. Kelly Bojile Setibelo on my left. She's the Chief Director dealing with operations, which means it covers the sectors, social sector, the environment and culture sector, as well as the non-state sector of the EPWP. Chair and members, we have prepared a progress report on the rollout of the Expand Public Works Phase 3 up to now. We are in February 2015. You will notice that the report covers the validated data for the first two quarters, which means up to the end of September 2014. But we do have tentative figures for up to December, but those figures have not been validated. That's why we will submit those figures at a later date or two. Our slide on two, it gives you the areas that we would like to cover, give you a progress report on, and that is the work opportunities, full-time equivalents, designated groups, minimum daily wage, labor intensity, and then we will cover the financial performance of the program in terms of the integrated incentive grants. We will cover the developments that came out of the third EPWP summit, as well as the institutionalizing of the Interministerial Committee on Public Employment Programs. And then we would like to talk to you about the challenges and how we intend addressing those. On slide three, that is really just for information, just to show you that the EPWP target of 6 million work opportunities had been disaggregated into annual targets. And then what you will see on that slide also on the far right hand side, the two columns, talks about FTEs and we measure the program in two ways in terms of figures, the number of work opportunities created as well as the full-time equivalents created, and that simply means the measurement that shows how many people would have been employed if they would have been working full-time on the program. If we add all that up, it adds up to more than 6 million work opportunities. The target, though, had been set for at 6 million work opportunities over 5 years, which means by 2019. Slide 4 I will skip because there's a similar slide in, later on slide 7 that summarizes that. Let me just go to the slide 5, and that shows the progress in terms of where we should have been at the end of September, which means we have an annual target of 1.045 million for 2014-15. By the end of September, we should have been at 522,000, as indicated there on the slide there, 522,760 work opportunities, and against that, you will see the we have basically achieved the target. I will speak to the shortcomings in terms of performance later on when we look at the individual sectors. We now talk to the challenges with regard to the non-state sector and the community work program component of that. Slide 6. This is, as the heading says there, the overall analysis across all sectors and spheres of government for the said period. And what we wanted to point out here to you are a few important indicators on the far left-hand side. It shows number of project sites. And then, obviously, as you go to your right, you will see the how many sites have been covered in the different sectors. And then it shows you the work opportunities created, duration of the work opportunities, which is an important one, full-time equivalents, and then also very important, the average minimum daily wage paid per sector in the program. The current minimum wage stands at 75 rand and 10 cents, I think, 75 rand. And you will see that on the whole, we have adhered to that. The one that I'm quoting, the 75 rand, it changed in October last November 2014, which means some of the figures obviously will still reflect the old 71 rand as the minimum daily wage. On slide 7 is a summary then of the aforementioned. It means in essence that against a target of more than 1 million work opportunities, we can report that 630,700 work opportunities had been created, and that amounts to 60% of the annual target. And then, as I pointed out, all sectors, they performed according to the planned schedule, except for the community work program. We'll come back to that. There are some more detailed slides that will talk to that. On the next slide, that is slide 8, if you can, yes, very faint there, it shows you the performance of the actual, of the different sectors against the annual target. And you will notice that if you're on the far right-hand column, the one that starts with 71, which means the infrastructure sector, they have achieved 71% of the target already, 34% environment, culture, social sector 65, non-profit organizations 84, and then the community work program 35%. That is currently an area of concern to us, and we will talk to that. Slide 9 is a graphic representation. It always makes it much easier when you look at the bar diagram in terms of how far the blue column shows the target, the annual target, and the red, the actual performance against that. And so that captures in the far right-hand side the 60% against the then the slide 10 shows the converse, if I could put it like that, of the above, which means the red bars there shows what must still be done across different spheres of government. You will see the municipalities, for the rest of the year, they still have to create their 44% of their target. Provinces, they've performed fairly well, 12%. National departments, quite a long way to go, 61%. Slide 11 covers the full-time equivalent target. Now, what we do with the full-time equivalent is that we take the person days of work, we look at the number of work opportunities, take the person days of work, and we divide it by a certain factor to show us how many people would have been working full-time. Which means we divide by 230 days, and then we get the full-time equivalent. Now, what it shows there then is that even though we have achieved the work opportunity target, it shows that many work opportunities were shortened in duration. That's why we have only achieved overall 32%, almost 33% of the target in terms of full-time equivalents. And you will see the disaggregation once again later on also when you look at the different sectors. Slide 12 shows that particular diagram or a table in slide 11 as a bar diagram. I said we have only achieved 33% of the full-time equivalent target. Slide 13 then shows the shortfall per the different spheres of government, and you will see that lots of work will have to be done across all three spheres of government to increase the duration of the work opportunities currently reported. That's why the red diagrams shows the shortfall in terms against the full-time equivalent target. Slide 14, in summary then, the number of full-time equivalents reported currently stands at close to 138,000 full-time equivalents against a target of 421,000 almost by the end of the second quarter, and this represents 33% of the target. Slide 15 shows that the provincial sphere it has achieved their second quarter targets, whereas the municipal sphere obviously did not achieve that target. All provinces have achieved their provincial sphere work opportunity targets, and the disaggregation is actually the next slide. And only three provinces get in. Limpopo and Gauteng, those municipalities have achieved 50% of their work opportunity target by quarter two. And all the other provinces are below the 50% target. Now, if we look at the slide 16, you will see what we have done there, Chair and Honourable Members, is that the green basically shows us, yes, reporting bodies in the provinces, they have either achieved the targets or they have overperformed, and the red says these are the areas of concern. For the municipalities, in terms of reporting, you will see that all of them, they've achieved at least 50% and above, which means they are on track to achieve the work opportunity targets. Municipalities, they are major areas of concern. Three municipalities, as I've said, Gauteng, KZN, and Limpopo, they are on track, they are actually overperforming. But then, converse of that, of course, in six provinces, the municipalities are currently underperforming. This is an area of concern to us, and I will address it when I talk to the challenges, but just in brief is where municipalities, if they don't spend their MIG allocation, the municipal infrastructure grant allocation, then we can immediately see it in terms of the figures reported onto our to the National Department of Public Works, and that's why we have flagged it red there, and that's the areas that we are currently working on. The total is just there for information's sake. We prefer to look at the disaggregated data that shows us where we have to put our energy to ensure that they do come in second. And currently, that lies in the municipal sphere where we have to do, where we are currently and we are doing some serious work, but where we have to intensify our efforts in order to up the performance. We hope that this picture would have changed, we are confident, dramatically by the third quarter data, which means up to the end of December. Slide 17 is the, it shows, maybe we should could perhaps look at the slide 18 first, then I'll come back to slide 17. Slide 18 shows the figures for the infrastructure sector. Now this is obviously an important contributor to the expanded public works program, and we are, pardon me, we are, what we show you here is the performance of both provinces and municipalities in terms of the infrastructure sector, which we know that the biggest budgets currently lie in that sector, and we have used a system to also make it easier for the committee to engage with, showing green, amber, and red. You know, that gives an idea of where we should be focusing on. In terms of provincial departments, the Free State, Gauteng, and the Northern Cape, they are currently under-reporting. What we have seen is that in many cases things are happening, but the provinces, they are very slow, or provincial departments, to get the data onto the system. And same for municipalities. They are, once again, Eastern Cape, Free State, and then the Western Cape, that where there were some data problems and they have not reported well at all. And that is basically what is captured in slide 17, if you could just go back for a minute, to slide 17, that the majority of the provinces have achieved 50% of their sphere targets, except for Free State, Gauteng, and Northern Cape, and only three provinces have achieved 50% and above by quarter two. Northwest and Gauteng provinces are more likely to achieve the targets with increased efforts, whilst Eastern Cape, Free State, and Western Cape are less likely to achieve the targets this year, unless there's a dramatic increase in terms of their efforts to get the data onto the system. On slide 19, we show the performance of the non-state sector. The non-state sector consists of two components. It consists of the of NGOs, or non-profit organizations, and the community work program that's currently driven by the Department of Cooperative Governance, or DCOG, or COGTA, if you want to include traditional affairs. And let me deal with the non-profit organizations first. You will see there are two areas of concern slightly currently. That's the national departments there in terms of non-profit organizations, and then the Northern Cape, that's be a flagged amber because under 50% performance. Let me deal with the red flag under non-profit organizations. That is in essence the target there was a the target that was set by the for the National Youth Development Agency, NIDA, and we have signed an agreement with them, an MOA with them, and that has kicked off now, so we are confident that the situation would dramatically change in the figures for quarter three, that's, but it's currently standing there at 0%. For the Northern Cape, very slow reporting against the target of 2,700, 5,000 rather, and so we are assisting them to get the data onto the system. Then for the community work program in the different provinces, let me talk about the overall performance. You'll see they're standing at 35% of the target. And then it's basically three provinces only, Gauteng, Limpopo and Mpumalanga, who have performed above 50% and very well in the case of Limpopo. But as for the other provinces, it's only Eastern Cape for 10%, which means almost on target. But as for the rest of the provinces, there are serious concerns, and we have engaged through our deputy minister with the deputy minister of cooperative governance, deputy minister Nell, to take up the apparent managerial issues that impact so negatively on the community work program. And as the honourable members and Jay would know, the community work program had been prioritised by cabinet, and so it is an area of major concern that they are currently, that they are currently not performing very well on these. The slide 20 is basically a summary of what I have said now. If we could move to slide 22 first, that's the data table. Slide 21 gives you a summary of it. But for the social sector, and here you would members would recall the major programs in the social sector for the Expanded Public Works Program. It covers early childhood development and home community-based care, where care workers look after the infirm, and people HIV and AIDS, TB. And in this sector, provinces have performed well. You will see that for the municipalities, a relatively small target of had been set. But that was because initially municipalities did not report on social sector programs at all. Since then, we have engaged with them. We have determined targets for municipalities across the different provinces. And all of them, they have responded well, except for currently two provinces where there is concern, Northern Cape and North West. Even though the targets are small, you will see the for Northern Cape, 237, 500, what we are looking at here is to institutionalize social sector programs in municipalities to make sure that they do contribute, because we want to build on that platform to ensure that they, as we progress into year two and of this phase of the EPWP, that they are geared to prioritize also social sector programs, so we are working on that. But on the whole, we should say, for those, for both provinces and municipalities, those were the bigger targets. Let me give you an example. Like if you move to the, under the provincial columns, you will see the Eastern Cape, and especially then Gauteng and KZN, those are the three provinces with the big targets. Eastern Cape 16,000, Gauteng almost 27,000, and KZN almost 27,000 work opportunities. They performed very well, as a matter of fact, overperformed in terms of what they were supposed to have contributed. You will see in this case for the Eastern Cape 120%, KZN 106%, and then Limpopo 92%. So they have performed very well, and we are quite happy with that, but we would like to get those underperforming and still performing bodies obviously on course also. And that covers then both slides 21 and 22. 21 just summarizes what I've spoken about in slide 22. If you can move on to slide 24 and then come back to slide 23. Slide 24 shows the performance this again, the province of the environment and culture sector of the EPWP. And we reflect once again for both provincial departments and municipalities. On the whole, you will see a lot of green, but as program managers, and we are trying to be responsible program managers and overall coordinators, our areas of concern always would be the red flags, because that's where we have to put our energies. And in the case of provinces, you'll see that the big targets, the biggest one is KZN, almost 14,000 or 13,700 work opportunities targets have been set, and they've only contributed less than a third of that as yet. That's an area of concern. And then we are happy with Limpopo, but the next biggest target of more than 6,800, they performed well. So even though the others that are under, in the case of Eastern Cape, a smaller target of 2,800, 31%, so we will be focusing on those. In terms of the municipalities, the big targets here, it sits with Eastern Cape 11,000, Gauteng 12,000, KZN 7,000, and then the Western Cape, a big one, 26,000. So our we are focusing on the Western Cape in terms of their under-reporting in terms of the target of more than 26,000 work opportunities, and then also on the Northern Cape, we'll be focusing there to ensure that the still reporting is solved. We have in KZN, let me just briefly mention the under the provincial department, we have seen a reconfiguration of the provincial departments, and amongst others, the agriculture moved, and inevitably we find that wherever there's a reconfiguration, there's always a slowdown in terms of the, until the management stabilized there, and that's why we are engaging with the with Gauteng and with the coordinating department there to ensure that they will be able to make their rightful contribution. On slide 26, it's just it gives you just a spatial pattern of where most of the work opportunities had been created. In essence, as is to be expected, would be in the metros. In essence, we have seen also some metros are not performing, most of them are performing well, in Nelson Mandela, in the Eastern Cape, that's currently an area of concern, because it should have been higher up in terms of their performance. And if you can just go to the next slide, it shows you that the top 10 municipalities, and you will see 8 metropolitan areas are in the top 20, but in the top 10 municipalities you will see Etiquette, Johannesburg, Buffalo City, Cape Town, Tshwane Metro, Ekurhuleni, and then you will see Nelson Mandela lower down. There are other big contributors such as Bombela, King Sabato, and Umsumbubo. Having said that, we are obviously mindful of the of that rural municipalities, that they have to be prioritized in terms of government's focus on rural development, and that's why when we look at the incentive grant, you will see how each municipalities have been assisted to get on board too. But this slide 26 just shows the top 10 municipalities in terms of overall performance. That's not, nothing to do with where our focus actually is. Slide 27 shows the work opportunities as percentage of the designated groups. As honourable members would recall, for EPLRP phase 3, targets had been set for the designated groups for women, 55%, for youth, 55%, and for persons with disabilities, or differently abled people, the target of 2%. And on the whole, you will see we have achieved the target for women, that's the blue columns, that's across the different sectors, and also overall. And then for youth, we have done well in terms of the environment and culture sector, and and then you will see for the other sectors, it is round about the 48% mark, and that's why the average for youth stands at 48%. Taking into account that this is obviously quarter two of the program, which means we have two more quarters to report on. Sometimes projects kick off fairly late in the second and third quarters, and so the overall performance here should perhaps be judged in the quarter three and quarter four figures of the program. We always had a problem with across the different sectors with regard to people with disabilities. We have had a major drive though in terms of the non-state sector, and that's why you will see the 2% target had been achieved there, and which is something very positive for us, and we are taking the lessons learned from that sector to see how more people with disabilities could be brought on board across the other sectors too. And slide 28 basically summarizes in another form what I've said now. Slide 29. What this slide shows, the sector diagram shows, is that we have divided the EPWP wages into different categories, A, B, C, D, E, with the category A, 71 rand and less, and then from B to E, basically paying from 71 rand and up to more than 200 rand per day. And you will see there's currently a small percentage, but not insignificant, that's paying less than the required ministerial wage set by the Minister of Labour. And this is a problem that we will speak to also later, where especially in the social sector there have been volunteers have been involved, and that in some provinces they have not adhered to the minimum wage, and that is the 17% that is shown there, which means that flags for us an area of where we should intensify our efforts, but we will talk to that later on in the presentation in more details. Slide 30 then, it covers in what I've said now in narrative form. Slide 31, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, it shows the minimum daily wages just in the bar diagram format, and you will see, but it shows it per sector. The community work program, on the T or the legend on the left hand, right hand side rather, it shows the different sectors, and you will see that the in terms of the minimum wages, those paying less than 71 rand is actually the big one. There would be the community work program. As for the rest here, from category B onwards, we are quite happy that they adhere to the minimum wage, and then as I said, as you move to the right, that is positive news for us if programs and projects, if they pay more than a minimum wage, we are quite happy. But our concern would be on the far left-hand side, and especially with regard to the social sector, as I've said, and the community work program component. The slide 32 captures then, as I've said there, only a small percentage reported by the other sectors where they don't adhere to the minimum stipulated wage. The next slide, the question of labour intensity, is basically what a major premise for public employment programs. The main aim is that we would like labour intensity to be as high as possible, because what it tells us then is that that a fair amount of projects budgets end up in the pockets of poor people, and not in terms of equipment or operational costs and those kind of things and managerial costs. So what that slide tells us in essence, if we take the two far right-hand columns, 71% and 11% says that more than 82% of the projects there, it is categories D and E, that is, that they have very high labour intensity. And as we move to the left-hand side, it's not necessarily bad news, but what it says is that it's an area that we should be seriously looking to increase. Category C says that 30-50% falls in that category of 7% falls into that category, and to the far left-hand side, 6%. The following the few slides now talks about the expenditure per economic classification, and talks about the budget for a unit and our expenditure as at 31st of December 2014, to see whether we have actually used the budget that had been set aside for the EPWP. Overall, you will see we stand at 84% for the EPWP branch, and perhaps a more important figure for honourable members here would be the transfers and subsidies. That shows that we stand at overall at 88%, which is an improvement in terms of expenditure. Last year it's at 84% in 2013, which means we are actually the DORA funding that's been prioritized for municipalities and provinces, that there had been, it had been transferred to those provincial departments and municipalities. On slide 35 then, what we are saying is, and I'm referring specifically to the transfers and subsidies, the section there in the narrative says that expenditure is 1.4 billion rand against a budget of 1.6 billion, and the expenditure is equivalent to 88% of total allocation, which means it had reached the actual implementing bodies that it was supposed to benefit. That's supposed to benefit. Pardon me. And the slide 36, it just gives a disaggregation in terms of the budget for the unit that's under the Expanded Public Works Program, and the performance-based incentive allocation, 1.6 billion that we were talking about. That's the one that I spoke to, the 88% at the end of December 2014. Slide 37 then disaggregates the overall budget of for the transfers and subsidies. And this is, this honourable members, is funding that we have secured through National Treasury, but is dispersed only partly on performance to those impacting bodies. I will just point out the figures for the different grants. The for the EPLOP integrated grant to provinces, it covers the infrastructure sector and the environment and culture sector. A total amount in the 2014-15 financial year, the allocation was almost 349 million rand, and we have at the end of this December, it stood at 94% the amount dispersed. Integrated grant to municipalities, also covering the infrastructure sector and the environment and culture sector, total amount of 411 million had been dispersed, which stands at 69%. For the social sector incentive grant to provinces, the total amount of 254,000 had been dispersed, which means 98%. Non-state sector, the total amount had been dispersed. I should point out here in terms of our DORA requirements, our DG as the transferring officer and the accounting officer by law has to withhold if there's not adequate expenditure against the funding that has been transferred, which means we transfer funds, we monitor expenditure against those transfers, and if there's not sufficient, if it's not spent for the purpose that it was meant to, we have to withhold by law. That's why you will see in some cases the percentages dropped a little bit, but we are confident that as we report on quarters 3 and 4, that situation would have changed. Slide 38 captures what I had been talking to. Just a brief summary of what I've spoken about with regard to the table there. We now move over to the Expanded Public Works Summit, and we have pardon me. The summit was held on the 28th to the 29th of November last year. And the aim of the summit was to ensure that the EPLOP implementing bodies from all spheres but in particular the municipalities, that they contribute to the following objectives: accelerate implementation, and secondly, introduce EPWP Phase 3 to all implementing bodies. At this summit, following slide, we have taken a few resolutions that we are monitoring. And the first is that all municipal protocols should be signed by the 30th of June 2015. What the protocols do is to, it gives us a mechanism or tool to hold municipalities accountable in terms of their performance on the EPWP. Secondly, that all municipal policies should be endorsed by 30th of June also, and that the National Department of Public Works will provide technical support to municipalities. In this case is, should there be a change in terms of council members, if the policy is passed, it means at least give us an additional tool that we can work with, because it had been passed formally by the municipal council. And that's why the policy is an important one, also an additional tool for us to institutionalize the EPWP and to monitor performance. Then the resolution was that all spheres of government should ensure that there is dedicated capacity to coordinate and implement the EPWP. For a very long time, we have seen an ad hoc arrangement in terms of EPWP performance. That's important. Obviously, the above two, the agreement and the protocol, it gives us some leverage to push for staff or personnel to be appointed to drive the EPWP in municipalities. District forums or similar structures should meet on a regular basis, and that is so that they can report on performance, and it helps us also, and that all public bodies should continue to ensure that there is proper record management for EPWP projects, and that EPW undertakes to develop an appropriate management information system for Phase 3. With regard to the last bullet on slide 40, it is that when the AG did the audit, they found that in many municipalities records had there was not proper record keeping with regard to EPWP projects that had been implemented, and as honourable members would know, by law, in terms of the public service records, it has to be kept held in archives, so to speak, or archived for a number of years, in most cases at least 5 years, in other cases for certain contracts even longer, and that is why we have pushed for that resolution also to go through and was agreed to. Slide 41, continuation of the resolutions. All municipalities should continue to prioritize EPWP in their IDPs. If it's not in there, we know how difficult it is then to get on board, because IDPs, they work on a 3-year cycle, and if these projects are not in the IDPs, it is EPWP implementation will be very slow in municipalities. The principles of EPWP Phase 3 should be applied during the implementation of EPWP projects, and we have at an earlier occasion, but we have mentioned that in EPWP Phase 3 we have set at 4 basic principles for the EPWP, amongst others the minimum wage. We have looked at the different levy intensities, community participation, there's a fourth one, minimum wage, and I've mentioned that. So what we have said is that there should be entrenched in EPWP projects, and we don't have a situation that people ask the question, what's an EPWP project? And then if we apply those four minimum labour, the minimum the criteria, at least we will have a better basis to for a more coherent drive to create more work opportunities. Slide 42 then. Progress on institutionalizing the public employment programs IMC, the PEP IMC. Honourable members, when the EPLRP had been, when the proposal had been adopted by Parliament and passed, by Parliament, my apologies, adopted by Cabinet, my apologies, subsequent to the approval of that business plan for phase three, the five-year plan, there was Cabinet requested that we should find proper mechanisms to institutionalize the high-level governance arrangements around the expanded public works program so that it can be, there will be much greater political accountability also. And to that end, we have proposed the establishment of an inter-ministerial committee dealing with the public employment programs, or the PEPs. And so just a brief report back in this regard. We have had several engagements with the Office of the Deputy President, and it was agreed then that the Public Employment Programme Inter-Ministerial Committee would be institutionalised, would be established. The objectives would be, main objective would be to ensure that there is synergy and integration of public employment programmes across government departments. A proposed structure for this IMC is that the Deputy President will chair the committee, and we, our Deputy Minister, Deputy President had convened a meeting with the Minister of Finance, Minister of EDD, Economic Development, and then our Deputy Minister, and there were other Deputy Ministers there too. And it was then decided that, yes, in future, the Deputy President will chair this committee. The committee will meet at least twice a year, but there will be technical working groups that will meet to inform the major meetings, and that there will be an executive committee comprising of relevant ministers to be chaired by the Minister of Public Works, which means you will see that the overall IMC will meet twice a year, but the other committees will meet at more regular intervals. And then DPW had been tasked to develop the terms of reference, which we did. And this will be finalized in this month, and the first IMC meeting is then scheduled, the formal sitting of the IMC scheduled then for March 2015. Chair, in conclusion, let me talk about a few challenges that I've raised in between in the presentation. Now, the first, obviously, area of concern to us was the slow progress with regard to the establishment of the IMC, which was partly out of our hands, but since then the Deputy President's office, they've really cooperated very well to have this IMC on public employment programs established. Another area of concern is the non-attainment of the persons with disability and the youth targets. As we know, youth unemployment is rife, so we were concerned that it didn't prioritize amongst implementing bodies on a much bigger scale. Then the non-attainment of the full-time equivalents. I mentioned that also. This is due to short duration of work opportunities, and that is a challenge for us currently. In the social sector, the school nutrition program currently is not adhering to the minimum daily wage stipulated in the ministerial determination, and this falls under the Department of Basic Education. And then poor reporting from the community worker program, as I've mentioned earlier, under the Department of Cooperative Governance. measures put in place to address these challenges. We, as I've said, we have done a lot of work to establish the Public Employment Program, IMC, and we will intensify our efforts. We provide technical support to public bodies to help them implement their projects labor intensively and to report effectively. Constantly engage organizations that represent persons with disabilities to improve participation of different able people in the Expand Public Works program. We also engage the different programs to enable them to adhere to the minimum wage as set by the Department of Labor. And lastly, technical improvements are planned to improve the EWP reporting system. And that is an internal matter, but a big one in terms of the reliability of the EWP reporting systems. And we have, in an advanced process to have the IT systems revamped. Chair, thanks for the opportunity to present to you, and we would be in your hands in terms of questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the overview. Members, it's now your opportunity for comments, questions, areas of clarity. Let's start with you, Honorable Member.
Yeah, presentation. When you look the presentation, the department, it looks like approved all the achievements or all targets. But my question is on page 15, where we've got 9 provinces, but it's only 3 provinces who achieve 50%. So my question is, what about other provinces who've not achieved the target?
Thank you very much, Honorable Mjobo.
Thank you, Chair. Just a couple of questions for clarity. On slide number 7, you indicated that the program had created 630,000 jobs, work opportunities, against the annual target of 1,045,000. I'm just rounding up the figures anyway. This is just slightly over 50% of what the target should have been. But you are also saying that by the end of the second quarter for 2014-2015, this financial year, this would have been achieved. What guarantee is there that this will be indeed achieved? Because there's still quite a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of getting to that target. Second thing is, you say that the minimum wage is determined by the Department of Labor, but the disparities are so big between certain programs, categories of programs, of course, like infrastructure, environment, social, and so on and so forth. Having too had situations where people have complained that they engaged in this particular program, but they're not paid like the other sector that are receiving much bigger minimum wage. And on slide 10, the shortfalls pay sphere of government shows the national government is way poor in terms of the shortfall there at minus 61% compared to even some of the provinces. Am I correct to say that the government, national government, is letting down this program? Because even some of the provinces and even municipalities are at a much lower level in terms of the shortfall. What is the department doing about that? And in terms of the duration of the work opportunities, because I noticed that that also affects the, like you said, the FTEs achieved. Is the government planning on addressing this and maybe changing the duration of some of the programs? Chairperson, thank you so much.
Honorable Mubu, Raul Bohantate, thank you very much. Are you ready? Go for it, sir. Welcome.
Thanks, Chair.
I did hear that you were negotiating your way on the highway to get to my meeting on time. But
yeah, I tried, Chair. I couldn't.
You tried,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I did all I can.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Okay. Chair, mine is actually more about clarity. If you go to page, I think it's slide 44. You are talking about you are engaging the organizations with people with disability to ensure that they participate. I'm not sure whether that is the right way, because if they don't get employed, it's actually those people, the bodies that are responsible for employing them, that should be actually be engaged, and not them, because they can voluntarily participate, but they look for a job and they must be employed by the very same bodies that are actually employing the others. Why can we meet it at the youth and women, but we don't meet it at disability? So it's not the organization of the people with disability. I think the problem lies with those people. And then at some stage we had a meeting, I just forget this company, I mean this institution, whether was it FCC or whatever. There was a complaint that these incentives that we are paying to municipalities and the provinces, they are actually not being appropriated. That money is not being appropriated. And I just want to know, what are you doing? Because any money that is going to be spent, it should be appropriated. And it doesn't, it just gets, you just transfer it and they don't take it to their budget so that it can be approved. They just spend it without being appropriated. And actually there was a complaint that actually they are not meeting the PAFMA. I just want to hear that. So the other thing I think is more about monitoring. I'm just worried while we're saying we're doing monitoring, and we also come here and say others are not meeting, and we are also concerned. I mean, if all of us get concerned, then it's a problem. But someone might have to do something. And you are not telling us, what are you doing to ensure that those who are not meeting the targets, something is being done, rather than be concerned. So if you can tell us, what are you doing with all those municipalities, the provinces that are actually not meeting the standard, so that we are sure at least you are doing something, because monitoring is a very important thing. But Chair, coming to the targets, I thought that the targets are actually informed by budgets. And when I look at some of the municipalities, province that exceed so much targets, then I get confused to say, how does it, they exceed, and there's absolutely nothing being done to say, no, you can only, this is your target, and they almost double the targets. Now the question is to say, where does the funding come from for those who are exceeding? That's the question I want to know. And again on monitoring, you know, my worry has been the value for money on this EPWP. Now we are on the phase 3, and we still give presentation of how many employment and how many programs, but we still don't get to hear the projects that are giving value to the community. And EPWP is one of them that must make sure that all these toys that are happening in the location actually are kept through this EPWP. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Perhaps we could take a rejoinder from the department on some of the questions posed and comments made.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will ask my colleagues here first. They have noted the questions. Nisha, I want you to perhaps start, and then Kelebogile, and then I will come in. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. And honourable members, just to answer some of the questions that have been asked, there was a question. I'll start with the question on the incentives, the appropriations. They initially, when the type of incentive we had was a Schedule 8 grant, and it was the allocations that were given to public bodies were indicative, and you would get. You would draw down the incentive based on your performance. So you would not be sure how much money you're really going to get. It would depend on how you reported. And that would create problems in terms of appropriations because the public body could perform better and draw more incentive than has been allocated in the Division of Revenue Act. It was causing a lot of problems, but we changed the grants. The grants now are performance-based largely. And planning best. In other words, like the schedule for provinces, the Schedule 5 grant now, it used to be Schedule 8. For municipalities, Schedule 5B, it used to be Schedule 8, which means now the allocation that you have in the Division of Revenue Act does not change. So once it's passed in the budget, in the Division of Revenue Act, then that's the allocation you'll get. So that matter has been dealt with. But it used to be a problem in the past. What are we doing to help public bodies that are not meeting the targets? In the presentation, we spoke about technical support. One of the measures we're carrying out is we're providing technical support to those public bodies. Because you find that in many cases, especially at municipal level, you find they don't have people who can help them design EPWP projects. Or you may find that the challenges on under-reporting, the work opportunities are being created, but the reports are not being done. So we have officials who are going to different municipalities to help them to report, get their projects on the system, also give them advice in terms of the designs, in terms of projects, so that they can get their projects reported. So that's a lot what we are doing with the public bodies and planning as well to say, okay, from their budgets, help them identify which of these projects are EPWP, because many times public bodies are having problems in terms of planning. So that's some of the things that we are doing as a department to help them to help them be able to meet their targets. The three provinces that have achieved their targets, if I may ask that question, there are three provinces that are on track to meet their targets, but largely overall, the program is likely to meet its targets. If you take the global figures, we're at 60% at the end of quarter two, more than 60%. Our experience on EPWP, a lot of the projects tend to be implemented later in the financial year, in quarters three and four. Normally, quarters one and two, because it follows the financial year cycles. You find that in quarter one, they have inception of projects. They really get to implementation usually around quarter three. So it's just the way the projects usually are implemented. Normally we have a significant increase in terms of work opportunities reported in quarters three and four. This has been the trend over the last 10 years. So that's why we say comparatively, if you're at the end of the second quarter, and you're over 60%, chances are that you're likely to meet the targets because it normally follows an S-curve. And it's mainly related to just the cycle in terms of the implementation of projects. The question about the minimum wage, it's set by the Department of Labor. The reason why we have wide disparity is also, according to the Department of Labor, the minimum wage varies in the different provinces. There is no standard uniform minimum wage across the country. So you find that it varies across provinces, and also you find urban centers tend to have higher wages paid for projects. The principle in EPWP is that we try to pay a wage that is comparable to unskilled labor in an area. We tend to avoid paying below the minimum wage, but again, we try to peg the EPWP wages according to what is happening in the area. So that's why we're having those disparities. But I think what is critical for us is to make sure that the different programs, people are not getting below the minimum wage. The question on the national departments not performing, comparatively, if you look at the targets in terms of EPWP, most of the targets are at municipal sphere. Most of the targets are municipalities and provincial departments. Those are the ones that carry the bulk of the targets. So provincial departments are doing very well. If you see the generally across the board, if you go to the slide, you'll see that the provincial departments are meeting their targets and they are carrying the bulk of the work opportunities. Municipalities, it's 56% generally. I just want to go through that. Yes, if you look at this slide, you'll see that provinces generally, this is infrastructure only, but if you go to the older sectors, you'll see that generally provinces against their targets, it's 91% at the end of the second quarter. Now, that is many provinces have actually already met their targets for the financial year. Like a good example is Eastern Cape. The annual target is already far surpassed. So provincial departments are generally doing well. Municipalities are lagging slightly behind at 48%. But the good thing is that in terms of the targets, most of the targets are provincial sphere and municipal sphere. The national sphere, we haven't shown it here, but the targets are much lower in terms of the number of work opportunities. So even if they are not yet performing, we're confident that the program overall will meet the targets. The challenges with some of the infrastructure departments that we're engaging with at national level, and we have some of the state-owned enterprises also that we're engaging with. We usually get a number of work opportunities from ESCOM. We've had challenges in getting some of the reports coming through, but we're engaging with them to make sure that they improve reporting in terms of the national departments. The environment and culture sector, most of the reports come from the national sphere, and those ones are reporting well. I think I'll stop there for now. And my colleagues will stay.
Can you
stop?
You will see in many cases, like I'm just using this one as an example, the contribution of the national department here that says zero there. I think that was the one of the main concerns also from the honourable member. It is a relatively small target, but that is linked to the National Youth Development Agency, for instance. And what I've mentioned in the presentation earlier is that we have signed an MOA with them, and they have since started reporting. So when we report in the next round, we are confident, Honourable Member, Honourable Chair, that through you, that that situation will change. In essence, it means national departments are policy departments, mostly. They're relatively a small target for implementation purposes. But our focus, actually, when we getting very wide, when provinces and municipalities, when they underperform, because that's where the big numbers lie. Just in summary, thank you. Yes.
Sorry, just two questions I want to answer. The There was a question about the duration of work opportunities being a concern. The reason why the full-time equivalents, you've rightly said, are not being met is that the duration of the projects currently is shorter than what was anticipated, so it affects the full-time equivalent. One of the things we are trying to do as government, we're trying to promote maintenance programs, especially within infrastructure. Because on maintenance programs tend to be longer in duration, and also they tend to be, they're regular, it's predictable, regular predictable work, because maintenance is something that is ongoing. So we're encouraging a lot of the public bodies, the provincial departments, to be able to adopt maintenance programs so that you can have longer durations and have regular predictable work. So that's one of the things we're trying to do to improve on the full-time equivalent and the duration. The issue about the exceeding target, it's correct to say that the targets for EPWP are linked to the budget. That's how we set the targets. Now, also, when we were setting the targets, we were conservative. For example, for municipalities, we would anticipate that 30%, say, of the municipal infrastructure grant would be used for EPWP. We were basing it mainly on conditional grants. Now, but it doesn't mean that EPWP is limited to conditional grants, because we are saying public bodies should use all the funding they have for EPWP. So in cases where we're exceeding the target, it means that the public body is using most of their funding for EPWP. They are going above, they are going beyond the minimum. They're using some of their equitable share for EPWP, which is a good thing. It means that they're also using most of their conditional grants for EPWP. That's why you have cases where the targets are being exceeded, which is a good thing. We've had where the public body buys into EPWP, and you have champions at the political level and technical level, we tend to see good implementation of the program. And these are two things I want to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I want to respond to the first question to say what will guarantee us that we'll achieve our targets at the end of the financial year. We've got programs like your Karigude, your literacy program from the Department of Basic Education that takes about 35,000 plus people on board that when we engage them, they were going to start in the second quarter. So there are those projects that have not started implementing. It means the duration is going to be shorter, but then they are going to be bringing a lot of people on board. And also the community work program, they have not reported all their work opportunities. When you look at the presentation, they've got over 100,000 people on the program, but they have not reported because they submit the reports late, and when we submit the raw data for them to go through the information and they confirm, because what they have on their program and what we have on our system, it's not the same. So we are hoping that we are engaging them to make sure that all the work opportunities that they have as a program are reported on our system. And also we've got the departments like the Arts and Culture Department that were not on board. And we wrote to the DG of the Department of Arts and Culture so that they start reporting on as part of the environment and culture sector. We've received communique that they have now the champion, and we're hoping that all the projects around arts and culture projects, your dance, your music, will be reported as part of EPWP. Those programs that are typically EPWP program, your heritage programs, would be reported. You find that provinces are reporting, but the national departments are not reporting. So they are part and parcel now of the sector, and we are going to assist them to report on the program. On the shortfall from the national program, basically, the Department of the sector, environment and culture sector, is the one where there are a lot of national programs. You find the Department of Environmental Affairs, they've got about $2 billion. That's EPWP. So some of the projects have started late. So as soon as they start reporting on those projects, then we know that they would be able to meet the target. And basically also the explanation that all these projects are national programs. Your Karigure is a national project. Arts and Culture, they report on the national sphere, and the Department of Environmental Affairs, and also the Department of Tourism. Those are the national programs. So we would make sure that they meet their target. On people with disabilities, we had a workshop with the sector last year where we are mobilizing the sector to make sure that, you know, as much as possible, the people with disability participate. And we've seen that, but basically it was the non-state sector engaging with the sector. That's where at the end of the financial year you found that the sector had reached its targets. But now we are saying it should not just be the non-state sector that engages on EPWP, it should be all the other sectors. So we met with the sector to make sure that all the other sectors come on board to make sure that they also report. Because there was a bit of reluctance from the you know, from the people who are receiving the disability grants. They thought that if they participate as part of EPWP, they would forfeit that grant. So that clarity was given by the Department of Social Development through their entity SASA to say, you know, we use the sliding scale so that if you earn so much, you qualify so much. So, you know, those misconceptions around the participation of people with disability and them losing their benefits, their social grants, were clarified. So we're hoping that we'll have more people participating in the program. In terms of monitoring and evaluation and on engaging, you know, public bodies on meeting their targets, where we've had challenges, like we've had challenges in the Northwest, we've had challenges in the Western Cape, you know, with the other departments and sectors. We've gone and met with the HODs, where especially where there has been a lot of reconfiguration of the departments. We see that, you know, when the departments are reconfigured, then the program, you know, suffers. So we've gone to the HODs to say, you have received, you've qualified for the incentive, but you have not reported your work opportunities. You have not submitted the reports. So we've been able to go to provinces and engage the HODs. So the situation, hopefully, by the end of the third quarter, when we receive the report now, because the system has closed, we will be able to see the differences. Thank you, Chair.
If I may, Chair, this one. Thank you. This one outstanding question, I think, cuts the true value to the community, communities. That's a very important question in terms of EPWP Phase 3. Each and every budget is linked to an output, so to speak. Whenever projects are undertaken, there would be an output in terms of or deliverable. This project was around ECD, then there would be X number of children from poor communities that are taken care of in ECD centers. So what we are monitoring would be, and it would be two things, would be work opportunities created as well as the services delivered, and in other cases, roads maintained, roads constructed. So what we have is an M&E framework, a monitoring and evaluation framework, and we commission research. So in our next round of reporting, we would be in a better position to look at the deliverables from the different projects and to be able to tell the committee then in terms of the true value add to the communities. What we are reporting on now, because this is a mid-year reporting, in essence would be how many projects have taken off, how many work opportunities have been created, but we should take into account that most, if not all of these projects are still running projects. So the assets created and services delivered cannot be reported, unfortunately, at this stage, but we will be taking that into account. That's the one thing. And then secondly, we do commission research also on right through the five-year period to look at to ask participants how they have perceived these interventions
by different implementing bodies, be it municipalities or be it provincial departments, so that we can, and then we will present research results to this committee also. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I see a follow-up. Let's start with you. Thank you.
Chair, thanks. Chair, I just want to caution the department, especially on, we hear a lot of that most of the reports will come in the last quarter and all those things. And that's the most fear that I have, because when we want to do this fiscal dumping, it's always happening in the last quarter of the year. And we don't know those bodies, when they are coming to report in the last quarter, is it because now they have the money and they don't know what to do with the money? Now they're going to just employ people to get rid of the money, or they're going to just do something so that they can come and report. That's why I was talking about value for money, so that if you are really true, you will do your job from day one until the end, and you will report from day one until. But reporting only in the last quarter, there is something fishy. And I'm definitely sure there is something. So we have to look at that one, because it cannot be. I know since how long we have been complaining about reporting. I mean, they cannot be new. Even with this national department to say the youth development is not reporting, we have engaged them. Why do we engage people every year to remind them? EPWP has been there since 2003, I think so, if I'm not mistaken. And every department should be aware that there is EPWP, and I have to report in time, and they must report. But okay, I'll accept these targets, that those targets you are setting are unrealistic targets. You just put targets that, because if you say we put them, but the municipalities can employ as much as they can, then I'll assume that these are targets unrealistic, and we don't have to worry about them. Even if you don't achieve them, actually, they are unrealistic. They don't make any sense. That's a fact. If I can employ more than double that, then it's unrealistic targets. Whether I meet them or I don't meet them, they are unrealistic. That's what we are telling us here. To say, don't worry about those targets. We don't have to. They can employ as many as they like, and I can also perform below them. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Thank you, Chair. Chair, just my advice on the disability. I think with this incentive, maybe they could go and say, any public body or any municipality or any province that is not employing 2% of this disability, just tell them, okay, we're going to take so much from your incentive so that we force you to employ those people with disability. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Masango. I could see as you were re-emphasizing your point, members of the department were getting hot under the collar. This is why we are here. I'll give you a chance to respond to him. But with regard to the issue of targets, Honorable Masango is correct, you see. Across a number of portfolios and departments, we do have to look closely at the targets that people set, you see. At times, even if they know that they are able to achieve 80%, they will lower the target that submitted and say that our target is 40%, so that when they are able to reach what they know they can do, then it seems as if they've done very well. So from the department side, we have to be very circumspect, but also from member side, we have to interrogate those targets and see if they are realistic. What are national objectives, and how are we to achieve national objectives, so that we can interrogate such without fear or favor? It's in the interest of the country that we do well, that we enhance the level of excellence. So the point made there is very well taken. Department?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And thank you, honourable members, for the questions. Just firstly, with regard to fiscal dumping, whether the reporting in the latter and especially in the last quarter can be equated to fiscal dumping. No, honourable chair, that's not what the experience is. what we were saying is that our experience is that reporting improves towards quarter three and quarter four, and there are various reasons for that. Sometimes it's because projects that are implemented started in quarters 2-3, which means we see the results only in quarter 3 and 4. So that is what's happening often, and reporting, it is easy to detect fiscal dumping when the project has actually started in the fourth quarter. And that's what we are talking about. We are talking about improved reporting because of kickoff that maybe took place, that started in quarters 2 and 3 there. The question of target setting, thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member, for raising the issue. It is a fairly vexed question. Do you set an unrealistic target and overperform, or do you set a very high target and then you don't know whether you will get there? What we have done, though, was to interrogate what we should remind ourselves of is that implementation with a view to create work opportunities it requires a culture change, a mindset change in terms of how you implement your projects. And so because many projects are still undertaken through machine-based technologies, for instance, whereas they could have been undertaken through labor-intensive pursuits. So what we had done in terms of our target setting was to take into account there hasn't been a paradigm shift to saying we were completely moved, like municipalities and provincial departments, to labor-intensive implementation. Hence, what should be termed realistic target setting. We said let's target specific portions, components of the budget. Like, for instance, the municipal infrastructure grant. We have said we need to get out of this at least X percentage of work opportunities. And that's how we have gone about our business in terms of target setting. But I want to assure this committee that it was not unrealistic target setting, but rather realistic target setting. And then what we are working towards is this culture change of saying, now, beyond the meager or allocation, how about your equitable share, so that can be used for to create more work opportunities for poor people. And that's why it's so important, and that's why we constantly engage the Department of Cooperative Governance as the lead department for municipalities, for instance, to make sure that they municipalities will prioritize job creation. Like, for instance, and this is with regard to this point, is if EPWP projects had not been prioritized in the IDP of municipality, the jobs will not be, or the work opportunities will not be created at all, because it takes a long time to revise that. And that's why we had to take that into account, that if they didn't incorporate the EPWP approach in their planning, it means we will not be, they will not be able to report. So that's the context for that, Honourable Chair. And so we want to emphasise that that is indeed a realistic way of looking at it. Thank you. Jacob, my colleague here would want to add something. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think when we, just to respond to Honourable Masango's question on assets and services created, when you look, for example, at the social sector incentive, when we disperse the incentive to a public body, for example, the home community-based care program will say how many households are going to be serviced, because that's the grant that looks at people with frail care, people who are affected by HIV and AIDS and so forth. And then we're saying how many NGOs are going to be strengthened, because we know that most of the programs at provincial level use NGOs to service the communities. And then we say, and then on top of the grant, there's a 20% that's allocated to build capacity. So when we look at the grant, it will also have those elements of equity. How many women, how many young people, how many people with disabilities. So there are those elements in terms, you know, when we design the grants, they are embraced. Therefore, if we are going to be reporting on the incentive, we would be telling you that with a social sector grant, so many households have been serviced. So many young children have received ECD services. So there are those elements that are incorporated as part of the grant. So there are those service delivery outputs. So, and even with the programs now, when we meet in our program management meeting, we want to know, if you are going to rehabilitate the wetlands, how many wetlands have you rehabilitated? You know, how many communities have you serviced? How many, you know, the waste management program, are our communities now clean, the greening elements and so forth. So in terms of our M&E framework now, we have incorporated those service delivery aspects. I think we should be able to report them in our next reporting when we come to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chair.
Madam, thank you very much. Any further questions, Tate Mugu?
Just thank you, Chair. Just a couple. on the the issue of capacity building for municipalities in terms of implementing the programs, we know there are quite a number of municipalities that are really struggling even to deliver services to their people. To what extent do you think they are capable of delivering on these programs? And what is the department's responsibility in terms of capacitating them to implement these programs? because like my colleague was saying, it was basically like a waste of money if you send money to an institution that has no ability, no capacity to be able to do that work. Secondly, in your presentation, you also mentioned underreporting from some provinces. Underreporting on some from provinces, because I mean, if you don't get the right reports, there's a no you can determine the success of a program. And so, what do you do to get them to report on time, give you the right statistics? Because if they don't get that, then you'll not be able to evaluate the success of this program. Last one, Chair, is I represent a constituency in rural Pretoria, and we have had reports of the abuse of the EPWP program for political ends. Political patronage seems to be dispensed through these programs, that some individuals will be told, if you don't carry a certain party of a political party, a card of a political party, you can't benefit out of this. And I think this seems to me even more serious when we get to times of elections like we're going to be doing in a couple of months, that some political leaders, particularly in the rural areas, use this as a source of enticing people to participate or to vote for their parties. But what mechanisms are in place to make sure that this should not happen? Everybody should benefit from this regardless of what their political affiliation is. I intend to take it upon myself that I'll gather information from my constituency, as people always do bring this information to me, and I want to present it to you to say this is serious abuse of this facility that's supposed to benefit all those poor people, unemployed people, semi-literate people. And I'd like to hear what the department is doing about this. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mugulu, thanks. The issue that you raised is an issue that has been canvassed before in this portfolio committee. And the point that we made without fear or favor is that government services are there for all the people of this country. The government of the day has the responsibility to service all the people of this country, irrespective of for who they voted. And I did say in a previous context, where any member of any other party, all parties in fact, we should guard against this, you see. So if there's evidence of such, it is only correct to foreground that evidence so that we can look at this. Because from what I know, the department itself would not, should not, cannot encourage anybody to participate in that type of practice. People who work under the remit of the Department of Public Works. So if there are such infringements, it's our responsibility as public servants to bring those to the fore. But I'm sure the department would like to say something perhaps in response to the input that has been made by Honorable Mubu.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will take that particular question first, and then I would like my colleagues to talk about the capacity building issues and the under-reporting steps taken. Thank you for your for both the question and as well as for your comments. As a matter of fact, the EPLP principle that I've omitted earlier was the very point, a clear and transparent selection process, exactly to address the question of potential political patronage, and we, whenever something would be brought to our attention, we certainly take it up directly. I should also mention that both our minister and the deputy minister of public works on various occasions emphasize this particular point, as the chair rightly pointed out. Poor is poor is poor, and therefore we as a department, and I'm talking as a obviously as a public servant here, we have put in place clear selection processes that should not be manipulated by anybody, but if it is being manipulated, we would be interested to take it up. If we can address it ourselves, certainly it is then at the political level that it should be addressed through our minister and our deputy minister. Those are, but in terms of the way the program for phase three had been designed, was to take care that political patronage would not be advanced. I would like my colleague Ignatius Rio and Kelly Bokile to just to add some comments with regard to the other questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, TDG. The question about capacity building is a critical one, because our experience in municipalities is that indeed where there is no capacity in a municipality, you have challenges with the implementation of the program. What we've done, we've undertaken a program where we've trained municipal officials in labor-intensive methods of construction. We've trained over 1,200 officials across the country in the different municipalities. This we did in partnership with local government CETA. We trained municipal officials at NQF levels 7 and 5 in terms of labor-intensive methods to build their capacity. What we're also doing as a department, we are having workshops on EPWP, we call it the reorientation workshops, on a regular basis, where we go and meet municipal officials, we take them through what EPWP is all about. Because the challenge you have, especially at municipal level, the turnover of officials is very high. You train someone, he understands EPWP, you come back, the person has gone. So it's a continuous process that you have to train them all the time. What we've also done is we've also developed manuals and guidelines to say this is how to... This is how you implement the program. This is how you undertake a project so that they have material they can refer to. But what we are doing there is the continuous capacity building in terms of training. That's what we are doing to help municipalities. And then we also have a team of officials who are hands-on to help municipalities, who are available to municipalities. They go down to municipalities, sit down with the municipal officials and say, this is, let's take you through EPWP, and always check on those municipalities. So there's dedicated personnel that we put in place that is working with municipalities. The issue that also helps us a little bit with the issue of under-reporting. Indeed, if public bodies don't report, you cannot assess their performance. So we go to the public bodies. Sometimes we have to go to site with their permission and say, let's go to site and help you get the information on EPWP. We help them consolidate reports with some of the public bodies so that indeed we can get them to report on time. So that's what the department is doing in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. For the program, now we've got capacity in provinces in the form of deputy directors, program managers who are at director level, who are working in provinces and working with public bodies. But what we also do, we go to those departments that are not reporting. For example, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries staff. They've got a program called Working for Forestry. And they are doing good work, and it has been mainstreamed as EPWP, but they were not reporting as optimally as they should. So we engage the program, the chief directorate. We attend their meetings. They are now part of the sector. They've been able to report, and they are now qualifying for the incentive because we've assisted them. We actually even sent a data capturer to go and sit and make sure that those work opportunities that they have created are captured on the system. So as public works, what we also do, we deploy capacity if they do not have capacity in the form of data capturers. We've appointed a few data capturers that we also deploy to these public bodies to ensure that the information come onto the system. We've also assisted the Department of Cooperative Governance by deploying six data capturers so that they can assist them besides capturing the work opportunities, even, you know, making sure that the beneficiaries are paid on time. So that's the capacity that we provide to the public bodies to make sure that really we bring as much as possible the work opportunities that have been created, and we build that capacity in the public bodies. Thank you, Chair. But we also encourage them to have the champions. You know, like in DEC now, the Department of Arts and Culture, the DG has responded to Public Works that we've nominated this person to be now the EPWP champion. We hope that other departments can follow the lead that do not have champions to be able to be champions for the program. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Members.
Madam, thank you very much. Any further remarks? Thank you. The issues that we are obviously dealing with are not issues that we can conclude in one meeting. It behoves all of us around the table from our different angles to ensure that we remain seized with the matter in order to meet government imperatives to create work opportunities and work our people, wherever departments can, to ensure that there is the responsibility that's being carried out to empower our people with the opportunity to gain skills so that they can become independent and work for themselves. So that's an imperative that's ongoing. So where there's excellence, I'm sure members of the committee will point out such excellence. But where there's sharp criticism to be made, I would also expect them to make that sharp criticism so that we carry out our responsibility of oversight over the entities of the department and also level such constructive criticism with the aim of ensuring that we do indeed create better lives for our people. Having said that, I would like to thank members and officials and stakeholders and everybody else who just came by to hear what makes this particular portfolio committee tick. Now, one of my bosses, there are two of them, on my left and on my right. The one on my left, long time ago, when it was 11 o'clock, she said tea and coffee is ready outside. I would like to tell her that the tea and coffee outside, even if it's ice cold now, it has greater value. When you go to the supermarket and you buy iced tea, it costs much than the warm tea. So I would kindly ask you to indulge with what